Blog Talk Radio.
Evening to all the listeners out there, to the man's voice here on August the 20th, this Sunday afternoon. We're glad you're joining us. I mean, there's so much going on that we have so many things to talk about here in the world. We want to start the conversation a little bit about some of the things that are going on, but I think the one most important thing, let's go back to last weekend when we had the problem in Charlottesville, and there was a lot of questioning and there was a lot of comments about that. And, you know, I hate that the news is all about these negative things that are going on, and the things, you know, we still got North Korea to talk about, and of course the solar eclipse, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but then got more police officers being killed and things like that. So I think we're in a time where we as men need to discuss these things and bring them out in the open and say what's going on. But let's go back to last weekend. You know, I have a caller on the line who I think, if I can get him in, wanted to talk a little bit about the Trump piece, because I am, a lot of this stuff didn't come to fruition until just after the last election, and in my opinion, because before we just didn't have it like we have it now. I mean, there, you know, why do we have all this? And one of the things I want to ask, why are people, I got a comment from a listener who wanted to know, why are people still racist? Why are we still doing that in 2017? What is the problem? What is it that people say? And why do we think the president is the one that's leading this stuff? What do you think there, Ron?
Well, you know, I think, as I've said before, I think prejudice has always existed, and I think it always will. And I, as I've also mentioned before, people, humans, are not born prejudiced. So it's something that you learn. And, you know, you learn from family, you learn from friends, you learn from your colleagues, you learn from your schoolmates. I mean, it's definitely not something you're born with, but something that you learn. And it's not just, you know, this country where obviously where racism exists. I mean, I honestly believe it's part of human nature. You know, when somebody's different than you, you prejudge, you know, and you're skeptical, and you are not as accepting if they're different. And I'm not saying that that makes it right. I think it's totally wrong, and I think people mature and grow as humans, and it's all about your level of education too, I believe. And also your cultural experiences. You know, people that have traveled around the world, I think, are more open to different cultures and different ethnicities. But I think it's always going to be around, you know, and it's always going to exist. And, you know, some people, display it differently than others. You know, some people are racist, but they never will make a racist comment or ever say anything racist. And others are blatant about it.
Right, but it seems to be at an apex now. We were dormant. I mean, most of us thought that it was something that was there, but was on a small scale. But now it's here. You know, it's getting to the point of, you know, it's in the newspaper. It's happening every day. It took the death of Heather Heyer, the young lady that was killed in Charlottesville, and it was, she was not black. She wasn't killed by a minority. And, you know, somebody in a car killed this lady, and it took that to open up to a lot of people about racism in America, and it became a national issue. Now it's an international issue, and you know, and but it seems that it's come within the last year since we've had this president. Most people are saying the new president is the reason why all this is coming, you know, to point. One of our callers was in, and he was saying you cannot actually blame this president. Am I right, sir? Caller was on the line. Are you still there, sir?
Who are you talking, Ron?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think you can blame him because, I mean, this was going on long before. I mean, if you look at while Barack Obama was president, you know, that's when the whole Black Lives Matter movement began. You know, we had violence in the streets, violence against one another, the police officers. I'm sure you remember the Beer Summit, and you remember the professor, I believe, at Cambridge, that got arrested for breaking into his own house, and they had to have that Beer Summit. And so these types of things have been going on, but it's the media that's perpetrated it, because during the whole, when Obama became president, during that entire health care debate, everyone who had any negative words to say in opposition to his policies were automatically deemed racist. And so at that point, at the very beginning, the Democrats, I believe it was their strategy to say, hey, anybody who opposes the president or his agenda, we're going to call racist. And then that division, from that point moving forward, took its own wing. And it took off from that point on throughout Obama's entire administration. And what we're seeing now, is the fruits of that.
What do you think about that, Don?
I think that the caller is right on point, and it's been existing for a long time. I think what we're experiencing now is the residue of slavery. We never dealt with that issue. We never dealt with it, and it's been allowed to perpetuate in a mass level with our current leader, never really recognizing that President Barack Obama was born in the United States. It's just a terrible situation, David. When you go back to last weekend, here is the leader of the free world, the most powerful country in the world, endorsing KKK, white supremacy, and then had a script written by his cabinet to change his direction, and then had a change of heart. The heart began to speak. And then he went back to the old Trump. Well, you know, I'm going to say something to you. You can't re-ring the bell. Once the bell's been rung, the bell's been rung. And when someone tells you who they are, you need to believe them. We got a serious issue with our leadership, with the race issue. And we're not going to correct it until we come together and deal with the slave issue and take care of that and get that behind us. I think that our leader, Donald Trump, perpetuated this issue. And now he can't take it back. Like I said, you can't re-ring the bell. Once you ring the bell, you can't stop it. You know, I heard someone on our panel say they voted for him because he was a businessman. And I hope he responds to that. He lives in Michigan, and I think he'll respond to it a little later on. But he said he voted for him because he was a businessman. Well, now we have business leaders from all over the world, all over the country, rejecting him, walking away from him. we've got to deal with the issues at hand. And I really like one thing about him. I like the way he treats his family. Man, Donald Trump treats his family well. I wish he would look at the United States of America and its people as his family and treat us the same way he treats his family.
All right. Have another caller on the line that wanted to jump in this also. But let me go back to the original caller. The first, did you agree with what our panelists said, sir? I think it's Ron. Yes. Are you on board?
I totally disagree with what he said. It's almost like talking to a brick wall. You know, Donald Trump has said, you know, dozens of times that he rejects the KKK. He rejects white nationalists. And as a black man, I haven't seen him display any racism at all. I mean, I haven't seen him condone or promote or give a pass to any of this behavior. But I think what the problem is, people do not want to hear. And we talk about moving forward. We can't move forward because nobody's being honest. People have their own opinions, and they're going to run with them, just like the media. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump says or how many times he denounces it. They're going to continue to say he's a racist because that's what they want to go ahead and they want to project about him. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the only thing that Donald Trump did, and the first time they say, oh, he changed. He never changed. He just further specified what he said in the beginning. In the beginning, he said both sides. But people wanted him to be more specific and call out the radicals or the white nationalists and the KKK. So he came back and he still said both sides, but he said, but there is no room in America for those types of groups. The KKK, the white nationalists, he called them deplorable. He said that they were a disgrace. I mean, he used every adjective necessary to describe those groups and people. That still wasn't good enough. But what he did was he called out both groups. And to me, it seems like there is a problem with saying, if I throw a punch and you throw a punch, well, my punch is worse than yours because I'm a Nazi or because I'm a Klans member. No, we both were fighting one another, and they're both wrong. Antifa has been blocking traffic, throwing firebombs in buildings. They have hospitalized professors. They have hospitalized conservatives. They have beat up people. They have looted. They have robbed. And nobody, not one person on the left, has stood up and said, hey, this is wrong. This is violence. We need to stop. As soon as Donald Trump says it, that, hey, there was violence on both sides, all of a sudden it's racism. I don't get it. As a black man, I just don't get it.
All right.
David, I'd like to ask
you. Go ahead.
Can I ask the caller a question?
Yeah, sure.
Caller, I'd like to ask you a question, please. Donald Trump ran on the premise and the slogan, let's make America great again. I want to ask you, when was America ever great in your life?
America has always been great compared to the rest of the world in my lifetime. In my lifetime. To compare to the rest of the world, even with everything that's happened, African Americans or black fare better here than anywhere else in the world. We have the most millionaires here than anywhere else in the world. The most success here than anywhere else in the world. America is the greatest country in the world in terms of economic opportunities and for minorities and poor people to have a chance and opportunities to rise. So in that respect, America is absolutely great. It doesn't mean it's without fault. It doesn't mean that we've never done anything wrong, but there is not a society on earth that's not without fault. There's not a great society on earth that hasn't had slaves. Almost every society that you've mentioned has had slaves. And so you have to make a decision at some point. Are we going to move on and take advantage of all the opportunities that this country affords us? Or are we going to continue to live in the past and use this as an excuse for us not moving forward?
All right.
Can I weigh in on that? Can I weigh in on that, please?
I have a caller in from Los Angeles that likes to get in on this. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing? I'm Michael. Thank you for having me. I would like to weigh in on that last statement in regards to should we move forward or stick to the past.
Sure.
It's kind of, as an African-American in America, it's kind of hard to move forward when they have strategies that they implemented in the past that are still in place. So when you say that, yeah, we're, as black Americans, we're better here in America than in other countries, to me that's a very low bar. I mean, that's like saying, yeah, I'm gonna beat you up over here, but if you go to that country, you'll get beat up way worse, so therefore you should be happy with this beat not getting here. To me, that's a very false equivalent, to be honest.
All right. Sir, Ron, what do you have to say to this caller?
I mean, he's entitled to that opinion. I just don't know what policy. If there's a particular policy, a law that's in place that's preventing us from moving forward, hey, I'm with you. I stand arm in arm with you to fight against it. I just don't know of any of them. Mostly what we're fighting against is not institutional. Mostly what we're fighting against is not institutional or government policy. It's individual action. That's something that we'll never be rid of.
Hey, what about stop and frisk? What about stop and frisk? That's a government policy. What about stop and frisk?
Stop and frisk is not in place.
It's in place. Oh, absolutely. It's covertly in place. It's absolutely in place.
They had it in place and they struck it down. So.
Well, that's one example. You said you don't know of an example. That is clearly one example. You agree?
All right, let me jump in with Jeremiah. You're in the police world. What do you want to say about this?
Repeat that again, David.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just saying, you want to weigh in on, can you weigh in on these comments that are making? Because I know that your background is police work also, but we brought up something about stop and frisk. So I thought maybe you'd like to weigh in on what you're talking about.
Well, actually, I saw an incident. I can't relate to where exactly it was. But I just think that things will not change. I really think that things will not change as far as minorities and police officers, especially when there are Caucasian police officers involved with traffic stops. There's one on the news right now. I'm not too sure what state and city it's in, but a black male was stopped. He gave the officer his license and registration. Right after that, he asked him to get out the vehicle, took him to the ground. And what happened actually is two officers, the backup officer tried to tase the subject, which is the driver of the vehicle, and actually tased the other officer as well. And they beat the driver, the subject up quite a bit, tased him a couple times. But I just really think things would never be how they should be if it was possibly a Caucasian white driver. I just think that police officers take it too far, and they're very disrespectful and biased. So I just think as the United States, we have a lot of growth. I mean, we have a large population in the United States, and I don't think that we are by half to where we should be with how police should treat others or – you know, so I just think we have a long way to go. You know,
all right, well,
I think we have a very long way to go.
Yes, let's talk about a little bit about. There was a lot of critics from the news media, and I know one of the one of our callers is saying it's the news media is the reason that Trump stays with all these negative views. But there was a lot of criticizing Trump for his responses to the Charlottesville area. You know, Trump said that. Both sides shared the responsibility for the violence, and it brought up a lot of people getting upset about that. I know that one of our callers, I think it's Ron, you think that the media is not doing right with Trump. Do you think that they're wrong in this when they brought up about him not saying the right thing and not being on time with the Charlottesville thing that we had last weekend?
Well, I think that he said he wanted to get a totality of the circumstances and have facts before he speak on it. So I can understand from that standpoint. It probably took a little bit too long because I know he has a lot of intel with different departments throughout the government. But right. I understand that explanation of him wanting time to completely understand what took place.
All right. Let me ask Ron, what do you think?
In terms of what, his response time?
Well, the response time and the news media is saying that his response time plus what he said. There are a lot of people within Congress and the Senate who are saying that actually it was a congressman who wanted to seizure Trump on what he said by saying both sides share the responsibility for the violence. Do you think that that was just media, or do you think that, you know, that there should have been some a different way that the president apologize for this kind of thing, which he didn't.
I think he was right, but I don't think it was wise at that particular time. There's no question that there was violence on both sides. It wasn't as if the other demonstrators, the protesters, the anti-protesters, or the counter-protesters were sitting in a park eating ice cream and picking daisies, and then the white nationalists just came over and attacked them. They had a permit. They had a right to be there. Even though I disagree with it, I disagree with what they said and what they stand for, they had a right to be there, and the counter-protesters should not have engaged them. There would not have been any violence.
All right.
But do you think that their underlying intention is violence? Don't you agree that those far right, alt right, if their thesis statement is violence against Jews, African Americans, minorities? Do you agree with that? I don't think
the other side came
to harm anybody.
Which one? The anti-protesters or the counter-protesters?
Yeah, the anti-protesters stood for nonviolence and hate. The alt right stood for violence and hate. So how can you compare those two?
Oh, no, sir, you're absolutely mistaken. If you look, they showed up with billy clubs, helmets, baseball bats. They had aerosol cans with lighters, and they sprayed fire at these guys. They did not come arm-in-arm singing Kumbaya.
Okay, but how many people have the Ku Klux Klan lynched and murdered throughout history? And compare that to how many people that the opposite side lynched and murdered throughout history.
There's absolutely no comparison. It's disgusting. It's terrible. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Charlottesville.
But the people, they came in Ku Klux Klan.
The people that are there.
They were representing the Ku Klux Klan. So you say we're talking about Charlottesville. Yeah, the Klan was in Charlottesville. You're absolutely
right.
Yeah,
but we're talking about what happened in Charlottesville. We're not talking about the history of the Klan. What I'm saying is they had a permit to organize there. The counter-protesters engaged them and agitated the situation. And that's what caused the violence. Now, I'm not saying either side was right.
Let me jump in, John. Can you weigh in on some of this? Talking about Lynn's event, and, of course, the media, or others are saying the media doesn't give Trump a chance. You want to jump in on some of this?
Yeah, I can just a little bit, I guess. I agree with the callers. I've been listening here on and off. And, you know, we want to say it's all about Charlottesville. We want to say it's not all about Charlottesville. We want to say it's about the Klan. It's not about the Klan. The thing everyone has to remember, though, is that the Klan came out of the Democratic Party. And for some reason, I don't understand why they're getting lumped into this alt-right. I mean, everything they stand for is not a Republican view, and I challenge anybody to tell me that it is. You know, we stand with Israel. The Republicans, I mean, our Republican president is, you know, he went over there and met with them and everything else. And so to say that, you know, the Republican Party is, you know, anti-Jewish and anti-Israel like the Nazis are and calling them an alt-right, I mean, that's nothing what the Republican Party stands for. So, you know, so I'm a little bit confused on how that always gets lumped into the alt-right. you know, and so, but if you are going to look at it being that, you know, it happened in Charlottesville, should it have happened there? Should, you know, it all comes down to me. I mean, Michigan State down here now in Michigan, they have denied, and I'm not sure which group it was, but they've denied a permit for them to be able to speak on campus. And, you know, it goes right back to Antifa in Berkeley, where they, you know, rioted and everything else when a conservative speaker wanted to talk. So, you know, it seems like one side is trying to be shut down, but in the same sentence, though, you have to wonder, you know, whose side are all of these people on? I mean, it just looks like to me they're against everybody. I mean, I've seen where they've now taken down the wrong statues and things like that. So it's like, I don't think they really know what they're doing. I think they're out there just for the fact of hate. They now think they have a platform to spread it. And, you know, because, I mean, and it makes no sense to me. It really doesn't.
Don, where are you on the subject? Go ahead.
I think that the media, David, the media reports the news. And you can't unblow the whistle. Like I said before, once the whistle has been blown, it's been blown. And the media reports the news. I never heard the word fake news until Donald Trump came into office. Never heard that phrase before, fake news. Now, one thing you can say about the media is going to report the news, but when you lash an all-out attack against the media, then the media is going to report you more than a normal person. You just can't attack the media. And that's one of the reasons why Bannon and Trump decided to dismantle from each other so he can deal with Breitbart and try to correct the news situation. And that's what you're going to see moving forward with his little news episode. But the thing is, David, it boils down to one thing. We got to come together and quit looking at this hatred situation. It's not about Republican. It's not about Democrat. I think America has a heart problem. America has a heart problem.
Well, let me interject, because when you say we need to stop looking at this hate problem, well, how is that possible when there are Confederate flags and Robert E. Lee statues everywhere? That's hate. How can I stop looking at it when it's there? As a young black
exactly.
man, I went to Jefferson Davidson Junior High School as a black man. Can you imagine a Jewish kid going to Adolf Hitler Junior High School? Can you imagine that? And you pointed out Israel. Are there any statues of Hitler in Israel by any chance? I'm curious. I doubt it. So why do we
caller, I agree with you 100%. There is a heart problem. We got a heart problem in America. We're dealing with the hate, and we never address the racism of the Civil War, and it's been perpetuating ever since.
All right. I got a comment in here, email that just came through, and it says, what is it that the white nationalists who were protesting, what is it that they want? Does anybody have an idea? My idea is that what they want is for they feel they're going to be minorities pretty soon, and they're fighting to keep a hold of whatever it is that where they are. Does anybody have any other thoughts? I don't know how we can explain that, but I have a comment from a listener who's asking, what is it that they want? You know, they were there protesting. What were they protesting? What is it that they're trying to get? You want to answer? Can you help me with that, Ron?
Yeah, I think.
They were, oh, the other Ron.
which Ron, David?
No. Okay, let the caller Ron. We'll use the caller Ron. I was asking Ron, but the caller to jump in, so that's good. Let him go ahead and speak. Ron, what do you think?
The original, when they got the permit, they were out there protesting the taking down of the Confederate statue.
So
they believe, I'm sorry.
That's what they wanted that day. But why are they a group? What is it that they want? What is their existence for?
It's ignorance and hate. I mean, they just want to demonstrate. I mean, ultimately, they want to go back to, you know, the elimination or eradication of all blacks and Jews, I guess. But, I mean, they don't have any types of legislation or anything that they're trying to push forward other than, you know, stronger immigration laws.
Okay.
Hate.
That's it. Just hate.
All right. As we move along, what is it? Okay, so we had last week, and why is the United States just understanding racism in the United States? There are some people who have been hammering it and existing in it for years and years and years, but it seems that since this past weekend when we lost the young lady, Heather Heyer, now racism is a big issue and it's been going on all week long. Why is that so? Is it that it just finally came to light? And why is it just now? Bruce, you're there. Can you chime in on some of this?
Well, we've been wrestling. Can you hear me, David?
Yes, I can hear you well.
We've been wrestling with racism for decades now. All of us have lived through it and the different age groups. This is nothing new. What's happening now is we don't have people that are taking a logical approach to trying to solve it. We've entered an era now where we think we can solve all of our problems or get the attention we want by being violent. And we all also know, at least the people that are using their brains, that violence really doesn't solve much at all. If anything, it aggravates and increases the problem. And until we find either, again, I'll go back to the press, Don, I will respectfully agree and disagree with you at the same time that it's not fake news. I agree with you on that, but it's not facts either. The very powerful news media needs to tell us the truth. Not changed, not slanted, not colored, not anything but tell us the news. And we will make our own judgments and use that as a foundation to have intelligent discussion with people that we don't agree with, whether it be the color of our skin, whether it be the political power we deal with, or any other thing that makes us different than the others. And we keep hearing it over and over again, and all of our board panelists have said it, we need to talk to each other. And until we get real dialogue going, and our local, state, and federal politicians control this violence, not in a brutal way, but in a smart way, that's what they're paid to do, then this is never going to change. We need to get people to the table and talk to them. And I get really exacerbated and annoyed by people say, well, we can't do that. We've never done it before. We'll never do it. Well, if you don't come to the table with an attitude like that, you're right. You'll never be a part of the solution. You'll only be a part of the problem. So until we get that real healthy dialogue going and we have someone that has the guts enough to stand up and control violence on both sides, in both respects, we're never going to solve this problem.
I totally agree with that, that this is a problem that – this problem has been going on for quite some time. It didn't just rear up in the last week or so. I mean, Trayvon Martin was 4 years ago. O.J. Simpson was 25 years ago. Dr. King was 50 years ago. So I think this has been an ongoing situation. I don't think it's something that just popped up over the last week. And me, as an African-American, I personally think there's never going to be a solution to the problem. I think we should start talking about sovereignty in African-American America, because I just don't think it's ever going to get good for us. I think we're always going to be a joint in the state.
Ron? Is it caller Ron?
Yes.
Caller Ron, if you are a black gentleman, I am a white gentleman. If we sat down over a cup of coffee and you didn't like me or I didn't understand you or both, I got a feeling we can figure out, if we're smart men, to sit down and kind of identify what our differences are. We may not end up friends, but we might. And we could probably talk about and wrestle with a lot of the things that that both of us are curious about, whether there be reasons why our different races don't like each other, where the reasons why you and I could solve a problem and so many other people can't. And I have those conversations all the time. I enjoy those conversations, even if they don't end up positive, because that's what we're supposed to do. Wouldn't you agree?
But wouldn't you agree that we try that? Don't you think a black guy and a white guy have already sat down and tried to talk this out?
Should they try that? Yes.
They've already tried it over the last...
No. We haven't honestly tried it enough. Maybe, yes, you're right, to a degree we have. But obviously, we haven't hit the right combination yet, so we can't throw our hands up.
Maybe there is no right combination. Maybe there is no right combination.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But have we done it enough to really say that yet? I don't think so.
I would, as an African American, I would argue, yes, we have. Yes, we have.
Well, then, see, that would give us something to talk about over that cup of coffee, wouldn't it?
Let me ask you a question. I know the answer, but I want you to tell me, Bruce, what is the outcome of the conversation that you're trying to have?
Well, I'm trying to understand, like I did, and I did a lot of problem and client problem resolution in my career, and what the tool both of us are looking for, both sides of us, is the fact of what is it you're upset about, what is it that you think maybe I've done wrong, what is it do I think you've done wrong? Get to the root of the problem so you can really try to go after what the problem is. As you've heard some of these people say when they go to these rallies that turn into riots or whatever they turn into, I would bet to say too many of them there, I won't quote a percentage, but too many of them are there. They don't even know why they're there, other than to raise hell, H-E-L-L, on any side. So I think the fact of really having that conversation to find out what the root of the problem is, so you really do listen to someone and understand why they're hurting, why they're upset, gets you to the heart of the problem. And then, heaven forbid, somebody has to be big enough to say, you know what, okay, I'll make the first move. Our legislators don't, not only do they not want to make the first move, they won't make any move, it seems like, nowadays.
Hey, Bruce.
Do you agree part of the problem is institutional racism? That's the problem.
I think that's part of it, but in all due respect, Ron, don't you dare hide behind that. You're an individual. If you got problem with me or the person that's maligning you in that way, then go confront them in a constructive way. Don't just say they're racist.
Not to confront them in a constructive way, and he was assassinated.
I'm sorry.
Dr. King tried to confront institutionalized racism in a constructive way. And he was assassinated.
Yes, he did.
By Colin Kaepernick tried to address it by kneeling and not even saying anything. And he was ridiculed in sight. So the fact that we can just talk this thing through, we can't talk it through. It's not going to work.
Okay, so let me ask a question then. If we can't sit down and talk it through, the converse of all that is we fight and we destroy each other?
No, I think we need a divorce. I think it's time for a divorce. I think African Americans need sovereignty in the United States of America. It's a failed marriage between African Americans and the United States. I think it's time to start talking about separating.
That is a solution for disaster. Then we don't have an America.
Well, I'm pretty sure Mike Brown, Trayvon Martin, and all the other dead black people would say that this is a recipe for disaster the way we are right now.
Hold on a second. What do you think about that, Ron Staton? Sorry. Ron from Miami. Put it that way.
Oh, wow. I think Bruce is on to something, and I think part of the problem is that when two sides sit down and talk to each other, they let political correctness get in the way. I think, and yes, caller, I understand what you said about Martin Luther King tried to do it and he ended up being assassinated. But perhaps this show can serve as a good platform to maybe have and start that conversation, because we have some white panel members, we have some black African-American panel members, and maybe we can start talking about, hey, Don, what is it about white people that bothers you or you don't like? And he can ask me, Ron, what is it about black people that bothers you? And maybe, you know, since we're already friends and we know it's not a personal thing, maybe we can start getting to the root of some of, you know, some of the problems that, you know, because I'm sure the way that Bruce feels and Don and all of us is a mirror of what society is feeling. So I think it's just that, you know, when we get together and we talk, especially, you know, face-to-face, political correctness and politeness and decency gets in the way of really getting at the crux of the issue.
And remember, Miami Ron and caller Ron, that let's not be selfish enough to think that the world rotates around black and white. There are other groups that, whether you want to call them minorities or not, that are being tested and abused as well. So
that is true.
Blacks and whites might learn something from others that have been mistreated. So it's not just about the two of us.
Right. And,
yeah, but
and
right
I,
now we're focusing on America. We're not focusing on the world. We're focusing on the problems in
America.
That's
right. That's right.
And America's problems are black and white.
It's definitely the biggest confrontation between black and white in that regard, but it's not the only one.
And, you know, and I've mentioned this before, that, you know, slavery has existed in other countries. It's not just the United States. Not just.
But we're focusing on America. We're focusing on America.
Right. But let me finish what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, why is it that we here in America have such an issue with racism? And, you know, we have a slavery past just like France has and just like many other countries have. But why does it, at least from the perception point of view, why does it seem like we have a bigger issue than they do or other countries that have had slavery? I'd like to know the answer to that.
Well, because
I think I have the answer.
Okay.
The answer lies within us. If white America would come to this younger generation, like the young man that just spoke, he's young. All he's seen all of his life is racism and division. If white America would come to him and say, listen, we made some mistakes. Our forefathers pushed your father into slavery, and we never got it right. Now, I can't change what my forefather did, but I want to use one of the methods that Jesus did. He washed his disciples' feet, and he made them equal, and he repented. And he said, let's reason together. Let's start all over again.
Okay, but how?
And that's
what
never
about,
been done.
Okay, fair enough. But how about
if that is done, then we can start a new, fresh start.
Okay,
we've
I think
never
you're kind of
dealt
on
with the situation. Like Bruce said before, Bruce said we need to sit down and reason together. That's a good way to start right there.
I totally agree with you, but I think that we sit down and have the conversation. The white guy you're referring to should come to me, the black guy, and say, hey, my forefathers wronged yours, so here's some compensation for that wronging so you can get your life together and get it going. African Americans were never compensated for 400 years of free labor and slavery. And I think that's the root of the problem.
We're never going to be compensated. We were always promised 40 acres and a mule. Now, they can't give us 40 acres and a mule because they don't have it.
Yes, they do. The government has 40 acres and a mule to give to African Americans. Yes, they do. Absolutely.
Wait, I want to go back to the Ron, the caller. Ron, get your ideas being compensated. What do you think?
I think compensation meaning land and 40 acres and a mule, land and money.
No, wait a minute. I'm trying to get to the caller. Other caller, his name is Ron. I think he's. What do you think? If he's still there.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
You're asking me what do I think about reparations, basically?
Yes.
I say, hey, you know, I'm not an advocate for it, but I'm not against it either.
Okay.
I just believe more than anything, if our mindset isn't right, and we're walking around with this chip on our shoulders that we can't get ahead because this nation has been so terrible to us, then it doesn't matter what they give us. As a people, we'll never progress anyway. I heard a racist say one time, and this was a KKK guy, I don't remember his name, but he said, I'm all for reparations. He said, as a matter of fact, I pray that I would vote for America to pass the reparations bill. And he said, because with the mentality of black folks, all of that money flowing will come back to us within a matter of a year. He said, if I owned the dealership, I would open up, I would put out a special reparations Cadillac. He said, I would sell reparations gold chains, reparations day necklaces, reparations day rims, and every single dime would come right back to us. And the problem
okay, that's a racist insult. That's a real racist insult, to be honest. That's very insulting.
It was racist. That's my point. I said it was a KKK guy that made that statement. He made a racist statement. He meant it to be ugly. But what I'm saying is there's some truth in that, because what the problem is, it's not really reparations. The problem is our mentality. The problem is we have to realize there is no more institutional racism. There is no more government racism. We want to say there is, but there really isn't. The problems with racism that we experience today are individuals who make individual decisions. You have individual police departments, not entire police departments. You have individuals in higher education, not an entire school policy. Nothing that's written in black and white anyway. So we don't have anything institutional to fight against. The thing is, we have to acknowledge what else is there. I'm not saying turn a blind eye to it that it doesn't exist. We have to acknowledge it. We have to accept the good people for who they are, acknowledge the bad people, call them out for who they are, and pursue our happiness. And that's the way that we get out of this thing. As long as you focus on what's wrong and what's owed to us and what wrong was done to us, we'll never get ahead. We'll never go anywhere.
Okay, when you say there's no institutionalized racism, African Americans are 13% of the population, but 70% of the prison system. You don't think that's institutional racism?
I don't think that's institutional. I think part of it is you got different judges or whatever that's sitting on the bench, but there are no laws on the books to say, hey, lock a black person up because or give a black person more time than you give a white person. What I'm saying to you is there's
But it happens every day. It happens every day. You agree?
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. What I'm saying is what's best for us is what I tell my kids. Look, it's not fair all the time when you go down there. If you sit before a white judge, you might get more time. But guess what I tell them? Don't get in trouble.
Okay, but that's not acceptable to me. That's not acceptable as a black
but you
man.
Can't
and
do
you may get in more trouble
because
you're
black. You can't change that.
All right, gentlemen. All right. Let me bring it to a close at this point because there's more things we want to discuss. And we're down to, like, only about 10 minutes left. I want to move things on because I think we are into a critical time on something else. Because last week I brought up that Korea uses, they're very good, they like to make important dates, and they're all when important dates happen, they do things. And I said last week there was a date coming up, and that was that North Korea and the United States would be doing some drills. Well, just recently, North Korea warned the United States that it would be a merciless strike ahead of the South Korean drills if we go on with that drill. So what are your thoughts on North Korea, and do you think they will actually do something in Guam, send a bomb over to Guam or something, because we're partnering with the South Koreas and doing this drill? What do you think, Ron from Miami?
I think Kim Jong-un is definitely capable of doing something like that. And, you know, he's not, as far as I'm concerned, he's not all there in terms of mental stability. So, he's made those threats before and hasn't acted on them. But I think things may be a little bit different this time. And I think the different variable in this equation is Trump and his comments that are very insightful. And, in the past, other presidents, Republican and Democrat, you know, have been a lot more politically correct about the way they handle North Korea. But, Trump is Trump, if he says what's on his mind. And I think that's the different variable this time that maybe could lead to some action.
All right. What do you think John, about North Korea? And they're making a threat saying if you guys drill, there's going to be a merciless strike to the United States or somewhere. Do you think we should be concerned? But how concerned do you think we should be?
Bah, run the drill. I mean, since Trump came out and told them there'd be hellfire, they haven't done any more testing. Missile testing, there hasn't been any launches. And just like in the past, when he would blow his horn about what he was going to do, we would pay him off, give him a few $100 million, and everything would be nice for a couple of years. So I think he's a lot of talk, no action. I've been out of the news cycle since Tuesday. I just got back in town yesterday, so I really haven't been following it. But I think I did see something where it looks like China's has been talking to them. And I'd say run the drill. Let's see what he does. I mean, hopefully, like, if he does luckily to get one off, we knock it out of the air or sky or whatever. But, I'd run it and, checkmate, see what he does.
One of the things that I noticed was that North Korea is getting help building their missiles from a Ukrainian factory. Ukrainian is part of Russia. Does that mean that Russian and the North Korea are up? I think if they are, should we be concerned? Don, what do you think?
I think, David, we're dealing with a very toxic situation. We got an inexperienced young man that's thriving for notoriety, and he's getting it. And he might do anything because he's stupid. I mean, just looking for attention. And then we got a president that is inexperienced, needs help on making the right decisions from the people that are around him. And we got a toxic situation where we got two different organizations, North Korea and the United States, at a stalemate. And I don't think that we need to press this situation. I think we need to simmer down and let the situation cool off for a moment, because America has always thrived on boosting its economy through war. We got to stop.
All right.
What
do you think, Bruce?
Well, there's some kind of elements what a couple of our panelists have said. I tend to agree with a large part of what Don just said about, I'm not so sure that Mr. Un is crazy. He might just be immature and looking for the attention, to put it in a simple way. But either way, he's dangerous for whatever reason. I also think that our president likes to be a little bombastic and poke the bear too much instead of being diplomatic. And if you don't really know how the unpredictable other side is going to react, you don't want to poke the bear too much. Find another way to either control the bear or turn the heat down or something, but do not poke, keep poking him. What do you think, Don? What do you think?
Hey, Bruce, you're right on time, man. Don't poke the bear.
Yeah, don't poke the bear.
What do you think, Ron? Ron? Ron from Miami. From Miami.
Well, I already know what I thought. I mean, I think he is capable of doing something, and I think Bruce is right. You know, we just need to be a little more diplomatic about things, and you know, we've got other issues that we need to be worrying about. You know, look at the atrocities that are going on around the world with ISIS, and I know that. You know, one of Trump's campaign promises was that he's going to take care of ISIS. Well, look at what just happened in Barcelona. I mean, we have a lot of problems to deal with. And North Korea, it is a big problem, but it's just one of many.
Well, do you not consider it one of the top three problems the United States is having right now?
Maybe top five. I don't know if top three. Possibly top three, but you know, we've got a lot of things we're dealing with, and North Korea definitely is a very a difficult position for the president to be in. And as one of the panelists said, you know, Trump is inexperienced, so he really should rely on the expertise of the people that are surrounding him, and not you know, not put out tweets that inflame the situation even more.
But the people that are surrounding him are basically generals of military who, in my opinion, like to go to battle. I mean, that's what they're sitting there for, and if they've been sitting there long enough without doing anything, they want to do something.
Wait a minute.
No,
David.
I don't think
wait
that's true.
A minute, David. Do you really believe what you just said?
Yeah, that's
I thought I would throw it out there, Bruce. What are your comments on that?
Oh, yeah. Don't be baiting us like that. Shame on you. But
come on.
They better be militarily smart. I agree with you on that. But to say that they, ooh, I want to go to battle. I want to hit somebody. I want to kill somebody. I don't think you can label them like that. That means they're dumb as a rock. And heaven help us if they are. I don't think they are.
All right. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I think tomorrow, of course, I can't believe that a lot of companies are letting people off work because of the solar eclipse tomorrow. I didn't know a solar eclipse was a holiday, but many people are doing it. And I'm getting from, you know, reading a lot of articles that you can't look at the eclipse. I think ever since I was a child, when eclipse happened, I stood there looking at it, and I still can see. But I just get that you're not supposed to look at this one tomorrow, but it's no different than others. Is there something I'm missing? Don?
Yeah.
Hey, David, you know what? I'm looking forward to this because I've never seen anything like this. I don't know why we have to take off from work to go through this. It's going to happen again.
Well, not like this one in the next 80 years or something. This one.
Yeah, in like 80, 90 years. Yeah.
Yeah, different. This,
yeah, but
different.
I'm not going to be here.
You don't know that. You might.
Oh, I think he does. I think he does know that.
Well, we're closing up our show. We're glad everybody came and joined us today. We had a lot of discussion, good discussion, and. As we move along to next week, I want to, you know, Game of Thrones is getting good, so everybody gets...
Oh, please, 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 please.
What? We had a couple of questions from some people that are sending me emails. But anyway, I want to thank everybody who showed in. I want to tell the panelists thank you and the callers who actually joined us in conversation today. I want to thank them too, and we'll see you guys again next week. You guys have a great week, and enjoy the eclipse tomorrow, guys. Wear your glasses.
And don't go blind.
Good week,
please.
Everyone.
You too.
All right. Take care, and have a nice week.